Listening to 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of KUCI or the University of California at Irvine.
Well, I feel like an old hobo on sad, lonesome and blue. I was fair as a summer day. Now the summer days are through. You pass through places. Places pass through you, but you carry them with you on the soles of your traveling shoes. Well, I love you so dearly, I love you so clearly. I'll wake you up in the morning so early just to tell you I got the wandering blues. I got the wandering blues. I'm gonna quit these rambling ways one of these days soon. The littlest birds sing the prettiest songs. The littlest birds sing the prettiest songs. The littlest birds sing the prettiest songs. The littlest birds sing the prettiest songs.
Right, that's the Be Good Tanyas with the Little Birds to start off our show today. Welcome to another edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, and streaming live, of course, on the internet at kuci.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all things animal. Before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for yet another sterling edition of the Serena Sharp Show. And here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. This is just the fifth installment of Talking Animals, and we've already been extremely fortunate to have terrific guests, including Ralph Helfer, a legendary figure in the animal world and pioneer in the area of affection training, a fantastic veterinarian, Dr. Mary Sepsa, who addressed the controversial Consumer Reports article on vet practices and prices. We've also chatted with Deanna Foff Martin, who founded two wonderful Newport Beach-based organizations that collectively rescue cats and dogs, function as sort of a foster care adoption agency, and helps cover all the various vet food and other costs in the process. Last week was Greg Ginn from the legendary punk rock band Black Flag, whose chief passion these days is helping rescue feral and other homeless cats. In fact, he agreed to do two Black Flag reunion concerts at the Hollywood Palladium in September under the condition that the shows are benefits for several different cat rescue organizations. So, clearly here at Talking Animals, we're trying to hit a broad array of guests, a varied mix spanning all corners of the animal world. At one point, it appeared that today's guest might be Chuck Tracy, who for the better part of 2 months has had the unenviable position of temporarily overseeing the operation of Tiger Rescue in Colton, California, while the proprietor is facing numerous criminal charges. And meanwhile, a number of animals, including 30-some-odd tigers and other big cats at that facility, need to be cared for and fed each day. But we'll hold off getting into any other details until Chuck can join us. We're hoping that'll be as soon as next week. But if you're unfamiliar with this case, an internet search of Tiger Rescue should get you filled in pretty fast. Also, Sandra Stokely, a reporter at the Riverside Press Enterprise, has done an excellent job covering this story. Combing the Press Enterprise's archives will prove very fruitful. And I'll say a couple more things about Tiger Rescue momentarily, but only to again urge our listeners to head out to Colton and volunteer to help out there. So we'll otherwise save any real discussion of this matter until Chuck can join us on the show. Meanwhile, today we'll be speaking with an accomplished filmmaker whose company, Tribute Films, has developed a subspecialty that involves memorializing one or more of the animals that live with us, so-called pet tributes. This is the wonderfully named Sebastian Doggart, no less. So we'll get into our interview with Sebastian in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. And I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss. Phone number here is 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, if you're looking at your phone pad that way, or if you prefer to. So, turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck, to get your comments on and discuss. We'll also try to include a few announcement of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar if you haven't already done so. Also, if there are ever news stories or announcements you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us such items at talkinganimals@aol.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us there with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and other animal topics that are on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@aol.com. Over time, eventually, there will, of course, be a Talking Animals website with all kinds of wonderful and informative features and elements and links and archives of past shows and all kinds of cool stuff. So, meanwhile, though, let's talk turkey, as it were. Here are some announcements and animal stories that have been in the news lately or that are coming up, and I hope we can talk about them. First of all, as I did touch on, in terms of Tiger Rescue, again, we'll get the whole scoop, and properly so, when Chuck Tracy is able to join us. But I just want to mention, as I have a few other times on the show, that, again, Chuck is overseeing an ongoing project there so that the animals are cared for, fed, you know, enclosures cleaned, et cetera, each day, and doing that strictly with sort of a battalion of volunteers who drive out from all kinds of places, San Diego, Ventura, all kinds of points in between, and it's strictly volunteers, and it's It's great work. It's not easy. It's a lot of scooping, of pooping, and washing things down. But I mean, these animals have been they're in much better shape. I was out there Thursday, and they're in much better shape than they were when this all kind of went down. But again, they could absolutely use your help. And not surprisingly, weekdays sometimes are a little thinner on the troops of volunteers. So if you could find a day, any point, any day, of course, they'd welcome you. But a weekday in particular would be really, really helpful. Email me again at talkinganimals@AOL.com, and I will sort of hook you up if you think you could go out and help out. It's in Colton, California, and it's plenty warm, I can assure you, but it's really cool, and these animals, you know, need your help, your TLC, and anything we can do to help that situation is well worth it. So, also along those lines, when Chuck is not overseeing that project, which he's done, as I think I mentioned earlier, for the better part of 2 months in Colton. He's otherwise, he and his wife, Cindy, operate the Fund for Animals Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Ramona, California. And they are having a golf tournament fundraiser coming up August 8th. And so I just wanted to call that to your attention. The Fund for Animals is a not-for-profit animal welfare organization that's located in Ramona, and the fund is dedicated to caring for ill, injured, abused, and confiscated animals, mammals, and birds. Facilities home to many wild animals which cannot be released back to nature. Presently, the fund is home to an African lion, pygmy hippopotamus, 7 Siberian tigers, numerous bobcats, an Asian leopard cat, a young grizzly bear, and 2 cougars. Sorry, just going to get a little more music underneath us here. So the tournament is a fundraiser, really, to facilitate the construction of enclosures for some of these animals. So even if you don't know which end of the golf club to even approach, hold, whatever, grip, reflecting my great golf expertise just in that last phrase. Anyways, you may just want to pop a check in the mail to them. Of course, if you want to play, great. But any kind of check or entry should be mailed to the Fund for Animals, Incorporated, 18740 Highland Valley Road, Ramona, California, 92065. If you have any questions along these lines, you can call a man named Jim Munsterman at area code 760-789-9999. However many nines. There's 4 nines there. 7899999. All right, beautiful. Okay, I also have a little release here that I wanted to share. It's about the Pet Orphans Fund Dog Night, Dog's Night Out, I should say. Get my plural in the right place. Doesn't your dog deserve some summer fun? Get out the leash and your walking shoes for Pet Orphans Fund's inaugural Dog's Night Out, Twilight Pet Walk Fundraiser. Saturday, August 2nd at Veterans Park, which is in Sylmar. The event is being co-hosted by Channel 7 weatherman Garth Kemp and Mad TV's Deborah Wilson to support Pet Orphans Fund's programs of rescue, rehabilitation, adoption, spay and neuter, humane education, and after-adoption services designed to keep the animal with its new family. All walkers and their pooches will receive a goodie bag and bandana. Registration begins at 4 p.m., pre-walk festivities and music at 5, the walk itself starts at 6. And Veterans Park is located in the foothills overlooking the San Fernando Valley. So if you don't have a dog, that's no problem. They'll you can just reserve one, quote-unquote, of the Pet Orphans Fund's orphans. And it's all good. Pet Orphans Fund is among the oldest, most respected nonprofit humane rescue organizations in the greater L.A. area and one of the only rescue organizations with its own kennel located in Van Nuys. Since 1973, Pet Orphans Fund has rescued over 20,000 death row dogs and cats at LA city and county shelters, providing them with medical attention, emotional nurturing, and then adopt them into loving new homes. For more info on this, you can go to their website at Pet Orphans Fund, all one word, no punctuation, etc., .org. So that's that one. And then actually turning to some news items that appeared recently in one place or another. There was a decision that I wanted to see if I might talk about, get your comments on, in terms of importing the African elephants, which has been sort of been in the news and getting sorted out, but just going to read a brief piece I saw in the LA Times, I guess it was Thursday. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced Wednesday that the San Diego Wild Animal Park can import 7 elephants from Swaziland, a decision that angered animal rights organizations fighting to keep the pachyderms in Africa. The Fish and Wildlife Service determined that the elephants, first scheduled to be imported legally from Africa to a North American zoo in 15 years, would be killed if they were not removed from the Swaziland game reserves. This is really the only viable option for these animals, given the overpopulation on the game reserves in Swaziland, said Chris Tollefson, spokesman for the Fish and Wildlife Service. Tollefson added that the elephants are destroying the habitat in Swaziland, a small landlocked nation between South Africa and Mozambique. The Wildlife Agency plans to issue the permits Friday. That would have been last Friday now. And that means the elephants could be imported as soon as next month. Animal rights groups, however, say they will file suit to stop the importation. They argue that the elephants should be left in the wild because zoos cannot provide adequate homes for them. The groups believe that the wild animal park near Escondido wants to import the animals for commercial purposes. The activists say they have found homes for the elephants in Africa. Quote, "We think this sets a bad precedent for the protection of African elephants," said Suzanne Roy of In Defense of Animals. "This could open the floodgates for zoos from all over North America to try and buy elephants from private reserves." In addition to the 7 elephants slated to be imported to San Diego, 4 elephants are designated for the Lowry Park Zoo in Tampa, Florida. So, love to get your thoughts, comments on this. Is this decision a good one? And if so, why? How? If not, why not? What should be done to prevent the elephants from being imported? Or any other comments on this topic or any related? 1-949-824-5824. 949-UCI-KUCI. Also, on a lighter note in all senses, this carry a couple of news service on the wire over the weekend. A rare white whale has been sighted off Australia's east coast, exciting whale watchers, but prompting suggestions that special laws might needed to be protect it from curious onlookers. The white humpback has delighted hundreds of whale watchers who have chartered boats to watch it as it breached and leisurely swam off Queensland State Gold Coast tourist mecca the last 2 days. Diver Gary Philpott captured extraordinary images broadcast on national television on Friday as he swam close by the whale. Quote, "It was the most incredible thing I've ever experienced. The thing was just like a huge white submarine," Philpott told 10 Network Television. But Philpott's frolic with the 46-foot whale prompted reminders from state authorities about fines of up to $5,921 for people who come within 300 meters of a whale. The white humpback whale, which has been the focus of attention over the past 24 hours, is a fascinating creature that may need to be protected to some extent from an overabundance of an interest, Queensland Environment Minister Dean Wells said. Locals have named the whale Moby, perhaps inevitably. And local media also reported that one Aboriginal elder had called the whale Migaloo, or white feller. Whale researchers said the white whale has been seen many times off the coast of Queensland and New South Wales since 1991. Up to 5,000 humpbacks migrate up to Australia's east coast from April to August each year from feeding grounds in the Antarctic to feed and breed in tropical waters. So, you know, what if anything should be done to protect this whale and others like it, especially in a situation like this? Any comments? 949-824-5824. And I guess lastly, at least officially, this story over the weekend as well, because there was quite a big program over the weekend in Anaheim. So, just actually read a LA Times account as well. If the fern feather boa canopy beds, lemon rosemary chicken dinners, and enameled jewelry on display at the Anaheim Convention Center are any indication, pets are living as well, if not better, than their humans. Americans shelled out nearly $30 billion on pet care last year, more than double what they spent a decade ago, boosting an industry that has shown remarkable resistance during the economic slump. People are spending less on themselves. The trend doesn't extend to their dogs, cats, and fish. And some of what's available for feathered friends is downright deluxe. "Don't tell anyone," whispered a vendor, hawking all-natural bath products at Super Zoo, the 53rd annual pet industry trade show. "But I use the shampoo and conditioner myself." More than 450 companies from around the world rented booths at the convention center this weekend, hoping to impress an expected expected 9,000 Super Zoo attendees, most of whom are independent retailers and distributors. With more than 100 new exhibitors showing up each year, innovation is key. It's a very entrepreneurial industry, said Doug Poindexter, Executive Vice President of the Worldwide Pet Supply Association, which is the host of the event. A lot of these products are the result of a pet owner figuring out something for their pet, think people love it, and then deciding to market it. So, I guess I'd like to know, with that in mind, what's the most unusual product you've purchased for your animal or animals? I guess along those lines, what's the most you spent on any one item? Come on, fess up. If we get an answer that's choice enough, we might even reach into our bag of prizes normally reserved for the winner of Name That Animal Theme, which of course is coming up later on Talking Animals. We're 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So we'll look forward to your calls, he said with unwarranted optimism. But at the moment, I think it's time that we step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner with an animal-oriented piece, stand-up piece from Jerry Seinfeld on 88.9 FM. KUCI.
I've tried horseback riding. I can't really do that. And they don't really give you the good horses when you're not good at it. I found that out. Guy says, what level rider would you say that you are? I go, I don't know, zero, nothing, whatever the system is. I can't do it. Is that clear enough for you? I'm going where the horse wants to go, okay? That's my level. Of course, to hear that, they start looking around. All right, is glue stick back yet? How about almost dead? Why don't you saddle him up? So I get on this U-shaped, lightning quick steed I got here. I had the only horse you could put your feet flat on the ground while you're riding it. I'm riding a hammock here. I'm looking up at my friends. I don't feel like we all got the same kind of horse. It was kind of a secure feeling. I could just kind of walk along with them there. Didn't it? And the horse isn't too thrilled with having me either. The horse knows they may be dumb, but they know you can't ride. And they don't like it. They just stop, you know, and they look up at you. With that frightening horsey face, you know, with those huge nostrils and that big bowling ball eye. And chill out, Hopalong, I know the trail. Yeah, I'm here every goddamn day, okay? And I really appreciate the kicking while I'm taking a leak, too. Yeah, thanks a lot. That really improves the already wonderful life that I have. People either sitting on me or kicking me while I'm peeing. I've got a real sweet gig here at the ranch. Get out of a car that has 300 horsepower to sit on an animal that has one. Why do we use the term horsepower? Is that also to insult the horse? The space shuttle rocket boosters, each one has 20 million horsepower. Why are we still comparing it with the horse? Any chance we're going to go back to using horses for rockets, trying to keep track of how many we're going to need? Hey, horses, the rocket engines broke down. Can you get 20 million friends together really fast?
20 million, that's a lot.
They do make glue out of horses. I have no idea how they do it or who even saw that potential. That's a brainstorm in my book. But what are you working in a stationery store? You see a horse walk by the window? Wait a minute. I think he could be glue. Are you sure? I'm positive. How do we pick out the really sticky ones? You leave that to me. What about that one over there? He's weaving around. He looks like he's out of his mind. He'll be crazy glue. To me, the toughest part of the horse's life is the horse trailer. I don't know who designed that. Is that the best way to move a horse out on the highway? Is that what we all need to see? Their huge, fat, disgusting asses right in my face? Is it good for the horses? They're probably standing in the back going, "Do you feel a draft, Bill?" "I can't see anything back there, but it's awfully breezy, isn't it? You don't think our huge, fat asses are hanging out the back of this truck, do you? Why the hell would they do that to us? They already ride us around and kick us while we're peeing. What's the point in sticking our ass out of a truck?"
All right, you're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and that was Jerry Seinfeld with a portion of his piece Horses from his album I'm Telling You for the Last Time. Comedy Corner is a weekly feature of Talking Animals. Last week we played Steve Martin's Cat Handcuffs. Others have included Bill Cosby's piece Dogs, Woody Allen's classic Bit the Moose, and a routine from Ellen DeGeneres called Cat in Heat. If you have a suggestion of an animal-oriented piece of comedy you think we should feature in the Comedy Corner on Talking Animals, please email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. And now we'll still eagerly and optimistically await phone calls at 949-824-5824. But otherwise, it's time now to welcome sort of this week's guest on Talking Animals. And I had earlier in the show mentioned a bit about Sebastian Doggart and his work as a filmmaker, including that his production company, Tribute Films, is among the few, perhaps the only, that offers an arrangement under which you can collaborate with Sebastian or one of the other filmmakers there to create a cinematic memorial to one or more of the animals that live with you. A tribute, as it were. It's a pet tribute. That's what they call it, at least. So this is the focus, as it were, of today's interview on Talking Animals. This represents just one facet of his work. In fact, this conversation was recorded a few days ago, just before he was to travel to Tanzania to spend 3 weeks there filming animals for a project at the behest of the Tanzania Forest Conservation Group. So, interesting guy with a lot of filmmaking ties to animals. So let's hear now our conversation on Talking Animals with Sebastian Doggart. Okay, let's welcome now Sebastian Doggart from Tribute Films. Hi, Sebastian.
Hi there.
And please, indeed, first of all, did I pronounce the last name correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. Sebastian Doggart.
Great. And where are you from, Sebastian, originally?
I was born in London and moved over to Los Angeles 3 years ago.
Fantastic. And can you tell us a little bit about Tribute Films, just generally?
Basically, Tribute Films makes films, personalized documentaries for individuals or their loved ones or their friends or their pets. And we provide a sort of unique opportunity to create a biography of your loved one's life, basically.
And how old is the company and how did you sort of get started doing that specific kind of filmmaking?
Well, I've been making similar films, profile documentaries, for about 10 years. And we started Tribute Films a year and a half because we wanted to make them more personalized rather than the sort of other documentaries we're doing for broadcasters and whatever. We had enormous satisfaction out of making, seeing the sort of people laugh and cry at films that they really cared about.
Mm-hmm.
And so we moved into this market, which isn't very well supplied, particularly by trained professional documentary makers. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun.
And so it's been about 3 years now, you say, that that Tribute Films has been doing this kind of work?
We formally set up the company about a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay, sorry. And your background, it sounds like one of the things that distinguishes Tribute Films is the filmmaking background of those involved. What is your, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background in film making, Sebastian?
Yeah, basically, it's in biography, professional documentary making.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did a profile on William Shakespeare for Bravo, History of Christianity, travel documentaries, some reality shows as well. And that training has helped to enable me and the company to tell stories that, that people want to tell. We get commissioned by networks or particularly British channels, so we have to work under their remit. And this is really the same thing, except the only audience we have to please is the customer.
Sure. And so then would I understand you to say that the tribute films, in addition to doing the kind of things you mentioned, various kinds of memorials and other kind of tributes to humans and animals, which we'll get into in a moment, that you're also still taking on projects that sort of fall outside of that realm, just to do other projects for television entities and others?
Absolutely, yeah. We have a sort of team of directors and producers, so that I think it's important that there's a sort of cross-fertilization between the tribute work and the other TV documentary work. So sometimes I'm going to be working on other TV projects and sometimes on tribute. But because the contracts are always so short now, as freelancers, it's normally 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to combine the two work, and it's the two strands of work, and it, they kind of feed off each other.
Well, that's great. How many folks are involved with tribute films? It sounds like there's at least a good-sized coalition, really. Of
at the moment, we have four main directors,
mm-hmm.
all of whom have a great documentary-making pedigree with MSNBC and the BBC and ABC and E and Bravo and Discovery.
Wow.
And so we kind of alternate doing the project and try to assign the best director for each client.
Sure. Wow, that sounds very good and very flexible to take things sort of project by project. And speaking of that, I guess I really would love to kind of find out more now, specifically just kind of when and kind of how the idea for the pet tributes first came about.
The idea the initial idea for the show actually came when we were having a picnic at Hollywood Forever Cemetery, which is in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and we were watching a silent movie being screened on the walls of the crematorium, and they were offering niches near Errol Flynn's grave for both for the human and for their pet, and it seemed that there wasn't really enough appreciation of the fact that, you know, pets are more than just animals. They are a part of our family, and they, need to be treated that way in every sense. And out of that, the three of us discussed this idea and wanted to provide the facilities to give clients a sort of unique opportunity to create a biography of your pet's life.
Mm-hmm.
We see that Biography Channel, which is largely about humans, but you'll know that pets basically have a story as well, and we provide the opportunity to tell that story of your furry friend on film.
Sure. And how does that work specifically? Let's say that I come to you and say, my cat Otis, I would love to develop a pet tribute to. Kind of walk us through how that happens step by step.
Sure. Well, we'd send a sort of executive producer around to talk to the customer, and that person would be in charge of ushering the whole project through,
mm-hmm.
shepherding the whole project through, and talk to the customer about the pet, about their characteristics, about their relationship to the pet, and really try and find a story. So, we can use photos, home video, and then we actually shoot actuality of the pet. For example, one client was actually a songwriter, Carol Connors, who wrote the theme tune to Rocky. So we did a fun sequence of she had two cats, of the cats fighting, intercut with Rocky. So you'd see Sylvester Stallone whack his opponent, and then you'd see the cat sort of play fighting, and we'd just intercut it. And that was a means of showing the kind of dynamic between these two cats. But also, music, obviously, is a great way of reflecting the character of a pet.
Sure.
And so we talk to the customer, find out what their needs are, and then present a couple of packages. We have two packages, one which is the paw print service, which is a kind of more basic service, and then the perfect package, which we can do sort of more actuality and more effects, and you know, it's slightly more sophisticated.
And how like how specific can or do the pet owners you know get when you guys are having these kind of conversations about you know what to do or how to kind of really capture their animal?
Very specific, which is why it's important to be personalized each time.
Mm-hmm.
People have different relationships with their animals. Sometimes it's a story about a pet that has passed on, so we have to tell that story without the possibility of using actuality.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes use abstract images as they're talking about their relationship to their furry friend, and we can, you know, I've used everything. The wonderful thing about these films is we can use other movies or music or whatever because it's for private use. So for one particular client who was talking about their cat, we used some Bill Viola video installation artwork as she was talking about the death of her cat and the significance that had to her life. I think it gave her a lot of comfort, those images, and combined with the stills existing of the cat, kind of whenever she watches it, she can be with. Minstrel, that particular cat. She can be with Minstrel over and over again.
Wow. Well, that's you know, I assume that's one of the main reasons people would be drawn to doing this. I mean, and it seems like kind of a very you know, nice and warm, you know, sort of you know, tribute or really celebration, I guess, in many cases of that animal, especially if it has passed on. I mean, have you found just in talking to people about this or the possibility of doing this, on the other hand, do people, you know, find this kind of an odd enterprise or even, you know, a bit depressing in some way that you know, kind of at least in the cases of a cat that has passed on being sort of captured in that way, or has there been kind of any kind of range of reactions? Or
I think the key is to be entertaining. We don't want to depress at all. We want to be entertain and comfort and inspire and make people laugh, and I think film is a great way of doing that. It's just a great way to memorialize a pet. And to have, you know, unfortunately, our pets' lives are very short.
Sure.
And this is a way to keep that life forever. You know, to memorialize it forever. And so I think it's a positive thing. It's not. We try and associate the whole company with celebrating life rather than death. It's about, you know, special lives. Our friends and family are the most important thing to us, and our pets are a part of our family.
Absolutely. No, that's right. So, it, you know, I don't know if you're like to tell us like approximately the cost involved for these for people who might want to you know, pursue this further, or is, I mean, it sounds like there's two main paths that people can travel to get a cool pet tribute together. But what are the approximate costs involved?
Really, the filmmaking world is the client's oyster. I mean, we've made films starting from about $1,000 up to $20,000, depending on how sophisticated. Some people want to go back to places where they, you know, bought the pet, or I mean, but the basic package, which is sort of stills and music, is around the thousand mark. But you know, it's so personalized, and we cater to people's needs. We're flexible. I think that's one of our main.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, kind of really whatever. I mean, just like you cited before with the example of the cutting in the Rocky footage or whatever. I mean, there's sounds like you really can make it very, very customized and give them really what they have in mind, and probably some ideas. You can probably suggest some ideas that wouldn't have occurred to them that they're thrilled with, I would think.
Absolutely. It's a creative relationship between us and the customer. We'll throw out ideas and they can throw them out or accept them, or, you know, brainstorming and lateral thinking. And
sure.
It's a fun process, I think, as well. It's a creative, and it makes a great gift for somebody also for who doesn't know it's going to happen. Surprise, gift.
Oh yeah. And what, Sebastian? What, like, what? I'm sure it varies, obviously, with how you know, extensive people want to get on these projects. But what's a sort of a you know, basic timetable from, you know, someone contacting you today? Let's say, you know, when might they expect that they could have the finished film in hand?
A normal turnaround period is about, from first consultation to completion of editing, is about 2 months.
Oh wow, that's faster than I would have guessed. That's great.
Yeah. No, I think, but we can do it quicker as well, if time is a real constraint.
Sure. And what do typically what do people do with them? I mean, where do they show them? Or you mentioned the woman who, you know, periodically kind of pulls it out and watches it. But I mean, do I know it's for private use, which is why some of the, you know, the usage is not an issue where it might be otherwise. But I mean, do people like have screenings for their family or friends, or what do you find are the typical uses for these once you hand them off to the client?
Absolutely, yes. The events are a great way of showing them, and we can help to organize that in terms of getting screens and things. But everything from birthdays to anniversaries to mm-hmm. company conferences to quinceañeras to weddings, even you know, the large public events, they make a really fun show.
Sure, sure. And do these come sort of in like a VHS or a DVD format, or how do the people get them when you guys have kind of concluded the whole project?
Either VHS or DVD, whatever the customer.
Oh, that's great! Fantastic. And what are some, I'd be curious to know what some of the more interesting or quirky maybe requests or elements of films that that people have, you know, asked you to incorporate or at least consider incorporating. Any notable ones come to mind?
Well, we had two dogs. We had one dog who had the extraordinary capacity to water ski. so that we filmed that,
wow.
Which was an unusual and fun project.
For sure.
We had another scuba diving dog in Florida who somehow managed to put a little tiny little tank on the back and go down with his master scuba diving.
Wow.
That was a kind of a fascinating, you know, relationship, man-dog relationship. Which we shot.
So you actually then went, obviously, shot underwater to capture this dog scuba diving?
Exactly. So
wow.
I mean, that's a sort of indication of catering to different needs, because we had to get a special underwater camera and film it underwater. And
sure. And is it, Sebastian, are you finding that it's primarily, I mean, I noticed with like one of the things being called the perfect package, et cetera, is it primarily cats with some dogs, or is it mainly, I mean, is it mainly those two, I guess I should say, but primarily cats thus far, or is it?
Horses as well, you know.
Okay.
That makes, but with primarily cats and dogs,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, we can do parrots or moose or manatees or whatever.
Sure.
People might want to do.
Again, it's back to the flexibility issue for sure. And was this Sebastian kind of like a natural evolution of being an animal lover yourself? Like, did you live with animals growing up, or what's your own kind of interest in animals apart from offering these pet tributes?
Just telling stories of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a challenge, and actually it's a completely different genre. Pet tribute films have never really been done before.
Sure.
I think. And,
well, that's kind of your own, I'm guessing at least, kind of your own creation.
Well, I think so. I haven't really come across, well, we did a market survey and haven't found this before.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably more interested in exploring that genre and the pleasure that it gives people when they see the
mm-hmm.
actual finished product.
Sure. And, so do you live with animals of any kind now, or are you...
Unfortunately, where I live at the moment, they have a totally outrageous ban on any pets. So I may be moving, but at the moment I don't, no.
I see. All right. And do you have any other involvement with animals otherwise that... you know, apart from shooting these films? Sounds like you can't actually have one in your residence currently, but do you do other things with animals, or any other, you know, sort of projects now and again that involve working with or filming animals?
Yeah, I work as a consultant for the Tanzania Forestry Conservation Group, and we and have made films for them on their work in researching flora and fauna in Tanzania, and have filmed a lot of, in fact, it's my sister who runs it, but I've filmed things with her, everything from mating lions to warthogs, and she's found recently found a new species of frog. So we do work filming animals in Tanzania with her.
Oh, great. And I understand you're actually shoving off shortly to do another such project in the next day or so, right?
Right, yeah, we're leaving on tomorrow, and we're going to dive with hammerhead sharks and hopefully do some filming there just off Pemba, and go and see the chimpanzees up in the Usambara Mountains.
Oh, great.
Sort of Jane Goodall style, which I'm very excited about. I've never seen the chimpanzees in the wild before.
Yeah, and then where will those films, the filming that you're doing, where will that go, or how would someone be able to see that, or is that for...
That should be on that'll certainly be on the Tanzania Forestry Conservation Group website, and then I'm not sure what else we're going to do with it. It'll certainly be used for promotional purposes to raise money for the group.
I see.
But it's not for broadcast at the moment.
Right. Right. Okay. Great. But that's going to be like it's going to be fascinating. How long are you going to be over in Tanzania, Sebastian?
About 3 weeks.
Oh wow! Yeah. Tremendous. Great. Well, I hope what I'd love to do is maybe check back with you when you've returned and kind of find out more about the trip and what you saw and what you filmed. And sounds like a whole other fascinating set of adventures await you momentarily here. So
absolutely. Well, that would be great.
All right, Sebastian.
If anyone is interested in getting in touch on Tribute Films, they can just go to the website at tributefilms.com.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that, but that's absolutely right. It's, of course, www.tributefilms.com, and you can just sort of look around generally, but specifically there's a section you can click on for pet tributes and find out more about how you might want to pursue what Sebastian has told us about. So, again, we want to thank Sebastian Doggett for joining us on Talking Animals, and we'll look forward to speaking to you sometime after you return from Tanzania.
Thank you very much, Doug.
All right, thank you. We'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye. All right, we want to thank Sebastian Doggett for speaking with us on Talking Animals. And again, that website address for Tribute Films, simply tributefilms.com. And then you can just click on the section labeled Pet Tributes. We not only look forward to getting something of a report from Sebastian when he returns, but sometime in the not-too-distant future, it appears that we may have an opportunity to interview his sister, Nike Doggett, who we'll call in actually from Tanzania, and we can hear about her work there with the Tanzania Forest Conservation Group. So look forward to that as well. At this point, I need to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. But that said, it's time now to proceed to something fun. Name That Animal Tune. And as you may know, this is remarkably like any other version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. Usually just by virtue of one or more animals being part of the song title, but occasionally it's a bit more indirect than that. So either way, like any version of this game, we can only provide a brief snippet of the tune in question. And then if you do recognize the song, you want to call in, and there's always a prize. Did he say prize? Yes, he did. For the first caller who correctly identifies the song and artist. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So, all right, without any further ado, let's get started. It's Talking Animals on KUCI. All right, well, that's all she wrote, because otherwise we're going to get right into the title. So if you happen to know that one, name that animal tune. It's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. In the meantime, I think we do have a caller. Maybe it's about this, maybe it's about something else. Let's see. Hi, you're on KUCI with Talking Animals.
Oh, hi there. Really enjoy your show. I was just curious, when you go out to volunteer with the Tigers, is that dangerous?
Well, it's yes and no. I mean, it can be because unfortunately the condition of the facility is such that they are the enclosures and some of the cages and stuff just were not built or maintained as well as they should have been. Having said that, Chuck and other people there that have been there regularly or frequently give you all kinds of very careful and clear instruction of what to do, what not to do, and just caution you kind of every step of the way so that really at the end of the day it's, you know, if you're smart and paying attention. I mean, you know, there's 30 some odd tigers and another, you know, handful of 15 or so other large cats. So, you know, common sense is going to be fine, and then a few, beyond that, a few specific instructions that you get from Chuck. So, I've been out there a couple times. I met a woman when I was there Thursday who's been there virtually every weekday for like 6 or 7 weeks. So, there's been no problem, no injury, no nothing as far as I know the whole time.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, I guess we may not have a winner this week for Name That Animal Tune. I had quite a cool array of prizes already laid out to review with our winner. So, all right. Well, maybe next week. Maybe next week. But anyway, it's 88.9 FM. It's KUCI in Irvine. It's show's called Talking Animals, as you know. And actually, looks like we have a caller. Hold on one second. Hey, UCI, you're on Talking Animals.
Hey, Duncan, I think I know the song.
Yeah?
Buffalo Soldier.
Absolutely right.
Woohoo!
And can you identify the artist?
It's Bob Marley.
Absolutely. Perfect.
Yay.
Cool. What's your name?
This is Lori.
Lori?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, Lori, well, let me run through a couple of choices. What kind of animal or animals do you have, if any?
I have a big, lovable Great Pyrenees.
Cool. Well, let's see. I've got a couple of nice T-shirts here. One with a fantastic, beautiful-looking wolf on the cover,
mm-hmm.
Sort of a Defenders of Wildlife kind of thing. I have another one with a very cute dog, Campaign Against Cruelty, IFAW member. I've got, what else do I have? Well, I've got like a little sample thing that you may or may not be interested in. It's a canine formula. It's like a super food supplement, The Missing Link. Don't know if you're familiar with that, but
no.
That's possible. And then just in a whole different realm, I've got this very cool sort of cone bird feeder string thing, which is really, really neat if you have any kind of access to a backyard or space there to hang that up. Otherwise, it's right now, at least I seem to have most of the other cat-related.
Well, the dog pack thing, that sounds good.
Cool. Okay, Lori, well, if you wouldn't mind, just email me at talkinganimals@AOL.com,
okay.
And let me know then how I can get a hold of you or send you this. And thanks so much for listening and calling in. And we're just so happy to get any callers on Talking Animals. And at some point we're going to get them, not just when there's a prize involved. I feel absolutely optimistic about this. So, but thank you for calling, and we'll look forward to hearing from you, and we'll get your prize shortly.
Great. Thanks,
Okay,
Duncan.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that pretty much, I think, has brought us to the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. And so I just want to thank everyone for listening, and thank Lori for calling in. The other name caller for calling in. I was glad to be able to clarify that. But yeah, again, if you got any time, head out, help out at the at Tiger Rescue. Again, email me at talkinganimals@AOL.com. I'll give you all the scoop on that if you think you can go out there and help out. And again, just want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the UC Board of Regents. But again, thanks for tuning in. I hope you'll join me again next week. And you can use that same email address with any comments, guest suggestions, news items, announcements, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, what have you. It's talkinganimals@AOL.com. I'll look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. And going to hit a few of the upcoming guests, but you know what? We're just about out of time. I don't want to run too far into Jeff's time, so we'll hit that next week. And otherwise, going to sort of close things out with something from Dirk Hamilton, a wonderful singer-songwriter who recently moved from Austin to not far from here, San Clemente. So now we can claim him as a local. So that's something we're very happy about. So anyways, it's the Black Dog Blues from Dirk Hamilton at 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. It's Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.
You don't know what I know, and I don't know a thing. When we hit the sweet forever, we'll know everything. There's no need to worry, so we're giggling under fire. Here's your hand, what's your hurry? Do what you desire. Checks are in the mail. We'll put a pound in the White House, like a lawyer down in jail. And leaving love to us, Dominion, we'll let the busybodies be. 'Cause while they're busy in their bodies, so